Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Michael Walden. Welcome to this segment of the show, Ask the Blood Detective. I am the Blood Detective, and it's actually a term, a nickname, that I received years ago by a grateful patient whom I helped when others sadly had failed her. Now, the Blood Detective then became a method that I use of investigation and evaluation and integration of natural treatments that I developed for all manner of health issues. It really is a new paradigm within which I consider our health and disease susceptibilities, and I believe that it works. Now, sadly, I think our medical system is failing us in many ways. I feel that it's certainly failing our children, and the epidemic of ASDs, or autism spectrum disorders, or autism itself, is a prime example, and that's why I've made it the topic of today's show, part one of autism epidemic, and the next several shows. Each show, just so you know, is based on specific topics and questions that I've received from my patients and many of your phone calls, so I thank you for that. Each Wednesday at 2 o'clock, I'll discuss important health considerations that affect us all, either directly or indirectly, and I'll bring you the very latest natural treatment approaches and also medical approaches. So if yourself, your children, or anyone you know suffers with autism or any of the ASDs, and we'll review what those are in a minute, please tell them about this radio station, this particular show, and also visit my blog, read the blog entries, and listen to the shows as often as you like on my website, which is www.intmedny.com, or you can just Google me, Dr. Michael Wald, or go to www.blooddetective.com. I can be reached, too, at 914-242-8844. So let me start off with a general description of autism spectrum disorders, or ASDs. First of all, these issues affect at least 1 in 60 children. Now, that is an epidemic because the last time I looked in the dictionary of what an epidemic was, it is a widespread occurrence of a particular problem or problems at any point in time, and this certainly qualifies. Now, the identified prevalence of these ASDs, or autism spectrum disorders, has increased in a very short period of time across multiple studies, and a lot of scientific studies have shown this. And some have concluded that it's reached an epidemic in the United States, and I certainly agree with that. And almost always there's some measure of intellectual disability associated with these ASDs. And what that means is that our very futures are at stake, not just of our children, but of our culture. So again, this is very, very important. They're not only children affected with ASDs, but adults as well, within what's called minimal brain dysfunction and other ASDs, as I'll describe. Now, ASDs are commonly associated with a number of other health problems, what we call comorbid conditions. And those of you that have children, for example, with various ASDs know what I'm talking about. We're talking about anxiety and seizures, poor muscle tone, concentration issues, thinking issues, learning, processing, language issues, and very often poor coordination. The list goes on and on. But the ASDs involve three core symptoms, though, three core physiologic energetic problems. One is impaired social interactions, which means that these children have a difficult time or it is impossible for them to manage effectively with people. Stereotyped repetitive behaviors where they repeat different things over and over again, and communication defects, all of the things that make us live well as human beings. Now, ASDs, or autism spectrum disorders, is defined as, just we should know medically what the definition is a group of developmental disabilities that include a full autism itself or pervasive developmental disorders, which is basically other sorts of disorders that may not be defined as autism. And they include things like Rett's syndrome, Tourette's syndrome, Fragile X, Asperger's syndrome, and other pervasive developmental disorders. They all have one thing in common. They involve distortions and problems of the brain and nervous system and many, many other aspects of the body. Now, a lot of attention has been drawn to the changes within the autism spectrum disorder criteria. Now, officially, there's a book called the DSM-5. And everyone who is concerned about autism and autism spectrum disorders need to know about DSM-5. Now, what that stands for is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, and it was developed by the American Psychiatric Association, and it was meant to provide diagnostic criteria. So diagnostic criteria are made-up criteria so that we can categorize different health problems. And there's certainly a benefit to that, but also there is a problem with categorizing many children within this very compartmentalized area or syndrome, because they're individuals. And the whole concept of all of the shows is about, that I will do, is about how to individualize treatment. So the structure of medicine in terms of the DSM-IV diagnoses in psychiatry is inherently limited and I think dangerous in many respects and useful in others. And I really should say, in my opinion at least, the field of psychiatry is, and psychology, although useful in some aspects, no doubt, is the least scientific of all the health professionals, relying on personal judgment of the practitioners and a real lack of scientific data. We need to bring the scientific data back to the science, and that's what my blood detective approach is about. And that is what I think holistic medicine or integrative medicine, that's the preferred term that I use, is really about. Let's speak about some of the costs of ASDs and autism in our society. And I'm talking about healthcare expenditure in terms of dollars and cents, you know, money spent, but also the cost of loss of quality of life of both the children affected with ASDs and the burden on their families. You know, there was a study that determined the differences in healthcare utilization and healthcare expenditure between children with and without autism spectrum disorders and examined possible reasons for these differences. Very interesting. It was a retrospective longitudinal study, so they looked back way back. It was a study of children aged younger than 18 years of age, both with and without ASDs, and it was conducted using a very large database of the Ministry of the Interior Registry of the Disabled Persons in tandem with the National Health Insurance Research Database. Very big, useful databases. Now, the sample size was 3,280 children with ASD and 9,840 children without. So they compared a lot more children without ASD compared to ASDs. Remember, we're trying to find out here how much money is spent by the families seeking care for kids with ASDs compared to regular kids that age without these ASDs. So among children in the sample, and most were boys, about 86%, between the ages of 6 and 11 years or so on average. Well, actually, the average age was around 9.8 years. Now, after all of this, they found out that there are far more annual physician visits with the ASD kids, which makes sense. There was far more hospitalizations and a lot more money spent compared with children without ASDs. The children with ASD exhibited higher annual physician visit expenditures, about $26,600 or more yearly. Higher ER visit expenditures, $50,000 or more. Higher hospitalization expenditures, around just under $6,000, and a total healthcare expenditure of around $32,000 a year. That's a lot of money spent on special needs, and a lot of it is spent on a bunch of useful treatments, but I think largely a lot of useless treatments because they tend to be off-label drug therapies. We'll talk about that more too, probably in the next show. So autism and ASD seem to be, first of all, on the rise. And it's interesting because there was a Dr. Kanner who in 1943 described children with a very unusual pattern of behavior, which he defined as being present from birth or before around 30 months of age. And that was the initial criteria. And this criteria changes. And the criteria changes over time, and it may include a lot more kids now, and that may account for the greater diagnosis of ASDs and autism. But I think any of us who have any common sense and simply look around us, I don't know about a lot of you, but I know every other family I know, there's some special needs problem. That's more than just diagnosis, inclusion, meaning more than just doctors recognizing and being aware of, okay, should I diagnose this thing? There's something more going on than that. I think it's very, very real and not just a matter of diagnostic criteria or of inclusion. Now, treatments medically consist mostly of educational strategies, and they're basically unproven, but some of them certainly are important. Many are ineffective, and some of the medications used are just outright dangerous. Let me speak for a little bit of time about causes. Now, the causes of, let's say, the increase, I should say, of ASD prevalence, as I just said, can be what are called extrinsic factors, such as increased awareness and diagnosis, as I just explained, but also, I believe, by a generation of environmental pollution. We're talking about pollution in our external environments, but also in our bodies, because our body takes in toxins. Our bodies are exposed to radiation and foods, and we transform a lot of these toxins and environmental insults into even more toxic problems. So these exogenous toxins outside the body become even more toxic inside the body. So, of course, there's a lot of ways in which the external environment and our internal toxic environment influence genetic expression. As many of you know, there's been a lot of talk about, are ASDs and autism genetic? Are they genetic? Well, as I'll describe throughout these shows, yes, there is some evidence that there are genetic susceptibility factors, but not everyone with autism or ASDs have specific genetic issues. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, we can't do anything about these genes once they're present. What we can do is influence how they express, and if they express as the problems of ASDs, and we can use essential fatty acids from fish or flax oil, if we can use ginkgo and vitamin D and melatonin and choline and GABA, the list goes on and on and on. I'll have a whole show on dietary and nutritional influences on genetic expression. That's where the focus, I believe, must be, and that's exactly where it is not in traditional medicine, but that's the way I believe it should be done. Now, there's a lot of overlap among the different forms of autism, just like there's lots of overlap among many of the pervasive developmental disorders, all of the ASDs, and those of you out there who have children with ASDs know that even a child diagnosed with one or another of these conditions, when you compare them to other children, boys and girls, they may be very, very, very different. Yes, there are similarities, but lots of differences, and those differences must be addressed in terms of individual treatments. So let's talk about what could be causing the fact that ASDs affect, as I said when I opened up the show, about one out of every 60 children. That's 60 children in the U.S. One out of every 60, I mean. They occur more often in boys than girls. There may be hormonal influences, but let me talk about at least one or two of these before the end of the show. Now, perinatal complications are significantly associated with ASDs. Preterm delivery, for example, in autism and perhaps many of the ASDs show a very strong relationship. In other words, prenatal and neonatal complications of the pregnancy, which affect the preterm infants, are associated with a higher incidence of ASDs and autism. Pregnancy hypertension, or hypertension of pregnancy, as it's also called, and also antepartum hemorrhage, bleeding from the vagina during pregnancy from week about 20 or 24, depending on who you talk to in terms of definition. And a hemorrhage is known to be associated with low birth weight, and low birth weight itself is known to be associated with increased risk of ASDs. Now, our show is about to come to an end, and I want to encourage you to listen to the next few shows. I'll reiterate some of these points, but I'm going to go much deeper into this conversation and intermix lots of practical advice. So, my name is Dr. Michael Wald. Please send me your thoughts, give me your show ideas, and tune in for the Autism Epidemic Part 2 next Wednesday at 2 o'clock, and email me at info@blooddetective.com or call me at 914-242-8844. Back to you, Alex. Thanks.